This morning, we have two lessons from the Old Testament and from the Gospel that are about God's provision. So I'd like to explore those two lessons a little bit and think about what it means that God will provide. And I have to confess with you from the outset that the times in my life when people have been in really challenging and difficult circumstances and someone has stepped up and said, "Don't worry, God will provide," that really hasn't been of great comfort to me in those particular times. I don't know if it's timing or question of my own faith or what. So I want to just explore about that. First, starting with the Israelites, the Exodus reading. They've escaped from Egypt being in slavery. They've escaped from being slaughtered by Pharaoh's army. They miraculously crossed the Red Sea, and they're wandering around in the desert now, and they're tired and scared, and they don't really know who this man is, who is leading them yet, and in short, they're utterly overwhelmed. And verse 4 of the scripture passage that we read, in that verse, the Lord says to Moses, "I'm going to rain bread from heaven for you, and each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day." Now, I'm wondering, with hundreds of people, men and women and children, traveling around in the desert, what is enough for one day? And of course, if you read the whole story, that ended up being quite an argument with them as well. I wonder also if you have experiences like I do each week of perhaps being at the getting on the highway at an intersection or going into a building, being somewhere on the street and seeing people holding up signs that say hungry or homeless or will work for food or disabled veteran. I wonder if those people get enough for the day. Each day that they stand out there. And I started out asking that question, and I said, well, maybe this isn't the right question at all, because if you look at the gospel lesson, it prompts a second question. The gospel has the parable of the landowner, the rich landowner, who at harvest time has to go out and hire a lot of extra people to bring in the harvest. He doesn't have enough employees. So he goes down to the manpower shop, and he hires everyone who's there that day. And then he goes again every couple hours. He ends up going 4 times, you know, between sunrise and 5 o'clock in the afternoon. He goes down 4 times, and every time he keeps bringing more workers home. And so the story says that when evening came, this rich owner of the vineyard says to his manager, "Call all the laborers together and give them their pay, beginning with the last who came to work today, and then ending with the first." Duh. Well, most of us, I think, would line them up the other way, right? We'd pay the workers who came first their daily wage, especially knowing he was going to pay them all the same. Because why would we want to hear all that complaining and have people arguing about it? Why did the owner line them up specifically in that way? Well, this is a parable, and parables are teachings about God. So I think this parable is trying to show us something about who God is. It's a teaching story about who God is, that perhaps a way that God is that is foreign to us or hard to understand. So the landowner gives everybody the same pay, those who worked 1 hour and those who worked 10 hours. And of course, being human as these gentlemen were, the ones who worked all day were really, really mad. And the landowner, seeing this, asks him, "Are you angry because I'm a generous man? Did you not agree for a day's wage?" So thus my question for this passage, is enough ever going to be enough? Is enough ever going to be enough? What is enough for the day, for this one day? Is enough ever enough, or will there ever be enough? And another way to ponder these questions about God's providence, a harder question is, will God provide? And if God provides, will we experience God's provision? Can we even recognize it or see it? Can we settle with what God provides? Can we even rest in God's provision for us? I want to tell you a couple stories from my own life that illustrate my struggle with these questions. And the first was, graduating from seminary in 1992, I was hired by a church in my diocese of Central Florida as an associate rector and with a 2-year contract. Now, there's a lot to say about this, but the short of it is that after 14 months, my boss sat down with me one day and totally surprised me by saying, go ahead and start looking for your next job right now. And I was really confused by that. And then about a month or 6 weeks later, he said, in fact, I'm thinking that your last day is going to be the first Sunday of Lent, which would have equaled 18 months of my working there. He was actually firing me. And he also told me that he would pay me a 6-month severance package to fulfill the 2-year contract that the church had made with me. Now, some of you might be surprised to learn that I'd had some conflict with this rector. It's a long story. But the short story is that I was fired from my first job out of seminary, and it took me 22 months, nearly 2 years, to find my next job. Anyone who's been out of work can imagine it was devastating to my sense of self, my sense of a call to ministry, my financial well-being, obviously, and going without working in the church, being a part of the church for nearly 2 years, and the least of which I was embarrassed and humiliated by this situation. So just like the Israelites, I was utterly overwhelmed and felt like I was wandering in the desert and not sure I would ever have enough wages for the day or enough money to pay back my school loan. My next job, however, ended up being working on the staff here in this diocese as youth coordinator. And that job then led me to this job here. Prior to saying yes to the bishop, I had been wandering for 22 months all over the country, up and down the eastern seaboard and in the south, looking, searching, feeling a little desperate. So when Bishop Johnson offered me this job, I was at first confused, because by this time I had no idea what to expect. What was employment going to be for me? I had been working in an office. I wasn't sure I would ever recognize what the right choice was. Having worked only 14 months in the church and only 7 or 8 of those months being a priest, I was asking myself if I was called to the priesthood, whether I would lose my job again. So jump back to Exodus, to the desert, on the morning that God made the dew rain on the ground and turn into a flaky light substance, which we now know as manna. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, "What is that?" And Moses said to them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat." So on the day after Bishop Johnson invited me to come to work for the diocese, I was saying to myself, "What is this? Is this a place that God would have me go? Is this going to be enough?" Well, as many of you know, that position was fruitful for me in the diocese. It did become God's abundance in my own life, but it took me a long time. I said yes, frankly, because I was desperate. I needed that job. I wanted that job. Did I know it was God's provision? Not for a long, long time. What is enough for a day? And when is enough ever enough? Where are you struggling with these questions in your lives? Where is it that you want to know or need to know of God's provision for you in life? These scripture stories are about God providing when there is a need, and they demonstrate a real difference between how we understand provision and what God offers as provision. The Israelites did get their meat and their bread, but they weren't happy with it. If you read the whole story, they were upset. They got bored with it. They wanted more. And the vineyard workers got what they agreed to work for. And they were also upset because some people got more than they got, sort of. Some people put more time in, so they were upset. Let me tell you another story that's more recent. So that job with the diocese was the beginning of what's now 16, 17-year experience for me in the priesthood of healing, or it's actually going to be 20 years next year, healing and grace and learning and enormous satisfaction in my work as a priest and in ministry in this diocese. And my high point, of course, is being here with you for 12 years. But I still struggle with when is enough going to be enough. First of all, I began working here at St. Paul's in Cary, knowing that I'd be working in a town where I would never be able to afford to own a home. And then nearly 12 years being here, I have attended countless meetings, vestry meetings, committee meetings, staff meetings, parking lot meetings, hallway meetings, and been in on lots and lots of conversations which focus at one point or another sometimes on whether or not our community of faith will ever have enough. We don't have enough here, not enough to afford this or that, not enough to make this or that decision, not enough to fix this or that broken thing, not enough to buy this or that desperately needed or simply desired thing. And I confess that over time, I have come to believe there is never enough. And there will never be enough from the perspective of the limited sight, that we have as human beings. We are human beings who are children of a God who provides. And yet there's never enough. We live in the abundance of God's love and grace and God's provision for our lives. But we also live in states of sorrow or fear or being overwhelmed by the incredible challenges of our lives. And we can't find what is enough for one day, or we can't find that we do have enough to live the lives that we are living. In the past 6 months, I've worked with three different people who are in their 50s and who have faced or are facing homelessness. For one person, it was a matter of a little over $1,000 rent between that person and the street. And that was an amount of money that I didn't have and the church didn't have and nobody I knew had it. And so sometimes there are real resources we need that are not there, that are just not there. In that case, God did provide, but it wasn't money. How do we recognize God's provision? Some of us here are facing foreclosure. We're facing material losses of home or property or business. We face a loss of well-being when we become ill physically or emotionally, or a loss of reputation. And in those times, we know with certainty that we do not have enough strength or enough resources for this one day. However, I do believe that God provides, even though I don't always recognize God's provision. And within the context of this faith community, I see suffering and I see uncertainty, and I work each day to support those who are looking to find just enough. And I've learned in this work that our own sense of feeling lost and our feelings of being overwhelmed do indeed get in the way of a clear sighting of God, of where God is in the midst of this. And yet, of course, I still have those feelings of being lost and feeling overwhelmed. I've also learned that it is in our common life of prayer, of community, of worship, of study, of service, it is in our common life together that we are often gifted with the true visions, the sightings of God. The stories of every one of our own lives, in connection with the stories of the lessons today, invite all of us to trust in God's provision, even when, or most especially when, it does not look like enough or feel like enough. We worship a God who is enough and who has enough for all the children of God. Let us journey together in a faith toward trusting that God will indeed provide all that we need. And let us even boldly step out in faith, knowing that there will be enough for everyone.